Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so much for giving us a glimpse of who you are and what you are doing in our world, Father. And we do ask for your forgiveness because we do often make our walk in Christ just about what we are facing right now. But Lord, you are so much greater than we realize, oh Lord. And it is our prayer to you that you truly give us a kingdom perspective this morning and help us to truly pray for your kingdom and your will to be done. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, there are many reasons why churches, do missions. I mean, there are those who really understand that, making disciples of all nations to be the heart of Jesus Christ. But there are times when, churches get involved in missions simply because, that's what other churches are doing. So as a way of staying competitive, and like anything else in life, and also like anything else in spiritual walk, there's also that danger of making missions, about us, what we are doing for God. I even met people who go on mission trips because, they love traveling and experiencing, new cultures. And numerous parents have sent their kids in hope of, straightening them out as a sort of a spiritual boot camp. Like anything we do, our motives are not always pure. But I am so grateful to God that He is God who works in us so patiently to purify our motives and our hearts so that our only motive, becomes love. And that is the, best reason to do missions, because we love God and because we love people. Because their lives, matter to us. Especially those who are lost and dying without ever knowing the love of Christ that brings freedom from all things that bind them. And so many in our world are in spiritual bondage, due to sin, due to deceptions, oppression, absence of truth. Therefore, the love of Christ that saved us and continues to cover us must become our motivation. As we know, we are created in God's image. That is to say, we are to reflect God's holy character, in our lives. See, we are designed to reveal and live His divine qualities in our world, so that the world may find hope, the will to persevere, and ultimately, freedom that is available in Jesus Christ. But the greatest of God's qualities that, we must shine in our lives is love. Because, all of us are created to be loved and to love. And all of our endeavors in life, if we really get down to it, it is to secure love. And we may not use, that exact word, love, but we may use words like, respect, approval, praise, acceptance, friendship, fame, and so forth. But the desire, the core desire of our hearts is the same, to be loved and to love. And the reason for that is, as I mentioned earlier, we are designed and wired that way. See, that is why we are always in pursuit of love. See, we can't help it. But the reason why Jesus had to spell out for us the greatest and the second greatest commandments is because without that guidance, we will end up loving only ourselves and all the wrong things in life. See, the truth about loving only ourselves and the wrong things in life is that it will never lead to lasting gratification or contentment, And I bet anything on that. There may be temporary, initial gratification, but they will never bring us that everlasting, satisfaction. See, this is why the Bible is underlined with the truth of God's love and is called to love, because there is where our salvation lies. I mean, yes, we are saved by faith in Christ alone, but it is when we are striving to love God and love our neighbors that we get to feel the full impact of that salvation. That Jesus has secured for us every day, not just on Sunday, but every day. Now, it's been a while since, I preached, three messages from, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 through chapter 2, verse 11. But the main point of those messages was that our knowledge of God is tested by our actions, our conduct, whether we are walking in the light or not. So by the way we live, it will verify whether we are living in the light or not. You know, and in a similar way, being born of God, as stated in chapter 2, verse 29, you know, see, being born of God is also tested by righteous action or doing right and love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, the command to love our siblings in Christ was first mentioned in chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. And let me read that for us. It says, "Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness, and they do not know where they are going because the darkness has blinded them." So love is a test of whether we are walking in light and living a new life in Jesus Christ. I mean, if you think about it, you know, for us Christians, walking in darkness or continuing to live our old life is really irrational, okay? For us to cling to our old ways. It's like taking a shower and getting all cleaned up and then putting back on the worn and dirty clothes, including the undergarments, right? I mean, no one does that, you know? Unless you're like a college student who doesn't want to do laundry, you know? I mean, I've been there, but even then, you'd rather steal and borrow your roommate's clothes than to, you know, wear the old one, dirty laundry, right? We just don't do that. But the same logic applies to us when we cleave and refuse to release our bitterness, our anger, hatred. You know, the very sin that Jesus has cleansed us from, you know? See, I mean, you can see how this is not a good idea. And to grab our attention, John uses a lot of extreme contrasts in his writing, like, you know, the children of God and the children of the devil, as we read last Sunday. And today he uses, you know, words like hatred and love, life and death, and murder and self-sacrifice, using the negative example of Cain with the positive example of Jesus to get our attention. And I believe that he has our attention. You know, the first thing that John mentioned is, this is the message you heard from the beginning, we should love one another in verse 11. And it sounds almost exactly the same as chapter 1, verse 1 that we looked at a long time ago, a few months back, where John begins his letter by saying that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. See, he is making a connection here that the command to love was given from the beginning, okay? It's not an afterthought, you know? But just as the gospel message was given to them from the start, right? And that's important to highlight because love is not the application of that message, but the goal established from the beginning, you know? See, love was the goal from the beginning. You know, it's not something that we just added on. It's not just the application of what we know, but that's the goal of all that we do. I mean, this is very crucial in understanding our mission in life because all these things that God is calling us to do are not the end, okay? Mission trip is not the end. The revival that we set up is not the end. All the things that we do is not the end. You know, we mistakenly think and believe that activities and events that we do as a church are the end, but no. They are simply the means to achieving the goal of loving, right? These are tools that we use to love God and love people. And I will go as far as to say that God brings and allows all things in life so that we may grasp what love is and what it means to love others. You know? See, when Jesus died on the cross for us, it was to love us and to demonstrate his love for humanity. The love was the goal, okay? See, and through his sacrifice, we are able to have this loving relationship with our Creator because the love is always the goal. You know, some may say worship is the ultimate goal, and you know, I do have to agree, but what do you think worship is? You know, it is loving God. That's what worship is. You know, sometimes in our society, you know, we hear people emphasizing the common goal, right? And to achieve that goal, people will tolerate each other, you know, be respectful even though they may not like each other very much, or work hard together to attain that goal, whatever that may be. But if that's how we approach our works for Christ, You know, we have already missed the point. You know, we're already defeated because we are missing the most important reason for all that we do. See, on the other hand, even if you don't achieve your intended objectives, okay, let's say we fail at, you know, this or that, you know, everything didn't work out the way we had planned. But if that process helps us to be together, you know, to better understand each other and to see Christ in every person and come to respect and enjoy and love one another, then I will say God is pleased. God is honored and glorified, you know. And there is no greater testimony than God's people loving each other. There is no greater testimony. See, this area of loving can be our strength or it could be our weakness in the eyes of the world, right? Do you see how important it is? See, commentator Westcott, he puts it this way. The whole aim of the gospel is the creation and strengthening of love. The words love one another do not simply give the content of the message, but its aim and its purpose, right? So the best way to assess everything we do in the body and in life, whether it is of worth or not, is to ask ourselves, you know, does this move me to love more, you know? Does this just move me to feel good about myself or what I've accomplished? Or does it really move me to love more, you know? That's the ultimate assessment of how we are doing in Jesus Christ. You know, in verses 12 through 15, John uses Cain, the brother of Abel, to illustrate his point. You know, in Genesis chapter 4, we read about Cain and Abel. We are familiar with that story. Let me read verses 3 to 5 of chapter 4. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, fat portion from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. So both of the sons of Adam, you know, brought offerings to God, okay? But the outcome, for some reason, was like night and day. See, Abel's offering led to loving God and being loved by God, okay? But Cain's offering led to anger because I believe, you know, his heart was more on his offering and the praises he expected to receive from God than actually loving God, okay? So I mean, if we are only fixated only on what we are doing for God, then it's human nature for us to expect something in return, right? And second, to start comparing ourselves with others and what they are doing, right? See, this may sound controversial, but please understand that what we bring before God is not as important as why we have come, you know? I mean, why are we here, you know? You know, if we are to turn to Mark chapter 12, verses 41 and 42, if we may go to the next slide, you read, Jesus watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins worth only a few cents. But, you know, Jesus praised her for the fact that unlike others, she gave out of her poverty. But I believe this widow to be wise as well because, see, although her offering was nothing, okay, it was nothing compared to what others brought, she knew that what God desired was her, right? You know, her worship. And that nothing was going to get in the way of her worshiping and loving her God. You know, she did not care about anyone else talking about her, about how meager her offering was. She was just there to love God. And that's what mattered, you know? And it didn't matter to her if those coins were all she had, that after that worship, she would have nothing because it was all about loving God and being loved by God. See, loving God was enough for her. That's why she was praised. See, true offering always leads us to love more, I think. But the opposite is also true. Our service and offering with selfish motives will lead us to jealousy, anger, and worst of all, we'll lose sight of God's call to love. You know, we get distracted. See, we lose that, and everything becomes meaningless. You know, we lose that call to love one another, and everything that we do becomes meaningless. You know, sometimes, you know, churches try to be too professional about everything, want everything to be in place and perfect. I mean, although that's not a bad thing, and we need to pursue that, but the true message of the cross is that we are all sinners, right, are forgiven and loved by God, and we are here purely by God's grace. You know, we are here because God allows us to be here, even though all of us are broken and wounded some way. See, even though that is the case, the love of God continues to bring comfort and healing to us and compels us to embrace and love other sinners. See, that's a blessing, and that's the church that our world is desperately seeking for, right? And that's the kind of church that we have to be, right? A church where people come and sense that there is love of God here, you know? Not that all these things are in place, not that we are good at doing all these things, but a place they could feel comfortable knowing that that love of God is driving us, that when I am here, I will be loved by people for who I am, right? That I don't have to perform. You know, verses 14, the latter part of verse 14 and also verse 15 warns, anyone who does not love remains in death. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. You know, Cain does end up murdering his brother Abel, right? And we see the same situation during the time of Jesus, when the spiritual leaders of his time had the same kind of hatred and jealousy toward Jesus that Cain expressed toward his brother Abel. And the spiritual leaders also ended up murdering innocent Jesus because darkness cannot tolerate the light. You know, nor morality, or hatred, love, and selfishness, self-sacrifice. They're the opposite. You know, therefore, the hatred of our world toward the community of faith, you know, shouldn't surprise us. The sobering truth, according to our passage, is that, you know, where there is no love, life cannot be, okay? Where there is no love, life cannot be, only death, right? And, you know, I have to say that at this stage of my life, not a lot of things, you know, bother me or offend me, really, right? Because the truth is, it's not because I'm such a great Christian, because I am not. You know, I struggle with the same things that, you know, we all struggle. So it's not the reason that I'm not bothered by these things, but the truth is, focusing on them can be too draining, too stressful, you know? I mean, just having bitterness or resentment or anger just drains us out. And they can paralyze me from, you know, living my life. And I want to live my life, you know, for God this day and every day, right? But when we choose to love, not only do we get to live our life, okay, but we get to enjoy it, you know? See, that's the wisdom of God for calling us to love one another, you know? But not stopping there, you know, we can be blessings to others who do not know the love of Christ. I mean, what an amazing strategy, you know? You know, God says, love me and love one another, and that's going to take care of everything, you know? You know, verse 16 explains about love. It reads, this is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. The true test of love is identified as willingness to sacrifice one's life for another. And that may sound like too much to us, right? I mean, it sounds too much, but it's not unreasonable, okay? If you really think about it, it's not unreasonable for two reasons. You know, the first reason is very obvious. It's because Jesus Christ laid down his life to save us, right? Because he is our Savior and life example, we are to imitate, you know, emulate his, you know, love for humanity, right? That's the first reason. But the second reason, you know, according to this pastor named Louis Giglio, this renowned pastor, it is because Christians are not at their leisure, he says. Okay, let me repeat that. Christians are not at their leisure. You know, that is to say, as people forgiven, redeemed, and living under God's love and grace alone, we have to understand that Jesus has saved us for a purpose, okay? He has rescued us for a purpose. And that purpose is not negotiable, okay? Although we may think that it is. See, God's purpose for our lives varies, you know, from people to people. But when I say God's purpose, I mean, I don't mean like our career or vocation, okay? Because people work, but that doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, they are fulfilling God's purpose in their lives, right? And also for those who are not working, you know, mothers and for whatever reasons, that also doesn't mean that you don't have a purpose because you are not working, right? So when I say God's purpose, see, I am specifically talking about one or two causes that we must make our own to love humanity, okay? And to share the love of Christ through those means. You know, for example, you know, someone like Francis Chan, I mean, great pastor, author, and speaker, I mean, his two causes, while doing all that he does, are helping the abused and, you know, neglected women and children in the world. That's his first cause. And the second is his heart for the urban poor, okay? So that he does that, you know, after doing all that he does. And for Chuck Colson, you know, who passed away, along with his many ministries, one cause that he had was to reach out to the, you know, prison inmates. That was his cause, you know, and I don't know if, I'm sure some of you still remember Genevieve's, you know, husband, you know, Roy, you know. And, you know, his cause was to have a gospel band that traveled to places like a camp, where, mentally challenged, you know, children are, and they would go to these places just to perform, to bring the love of Christ. That was his cause, you know, until, you know, he was stricken with, you know, with a disease that, you know, debilitated him, you know. See, we need a cause, right? See, some people may say, you know, what about the hungry in the African countries and the homeless here in U.S. or there is HIV epidemic and, you know, marriage and family institutions are crumbling in this country and what about our young people and who are so confused and lost and what about human trafficking and so forth, right? And I have to agree that these are all important causes, issues that cannot be ignored. But the reality is that, you know, we just cannot fight every battle. That's the reality, isn't it? You know, therefore, see, we as Christians must choose which one to take on, right? And hoping and praying that our brothers and sisters in Christ will cover the rest to show the power of God's love to make a difference in our world, you know? And don't think that this is only for a select few. It's a calling for all of us. And what God is calling us to do will vary, okay? But we need to be praying about that because there's an infinite number of needs in our world, in our community, in our neighborhood, in our families, whatever that may be. You know, a group of high school students from, you know, Hillsboro, you know, during school year, every Saturday they go to nursing homes, you know, to sing and play their musical instruments to these, you know, senior citizens who are basically forgotten. And how beautiful is that, you know, to see these young lives going there to share the love, not only of music, but love that lets them know that they matter, right? You know, I mean, last time I was there to observe, you know, there was a string, you know, triplet, you know, violin, viola, and a cello played by these young students. And they played a medley of hymns, you know, and it really touched my heart. And I don't doubt that many in that place were also moved somehow, you know, by the hymns, you know, that they were playing. See, I believe that we are to take on, you know, one or two causes and make them our life's mission, you know, because God has invested so much in us so that we may share the love of Christ, whatever that cause may be, you know. And these are the things that we need to be praying for, you know. Just living our lives, you know, and doing what we need to do is not enough. You know, that is not why he has saved us. It is to love humanity, you know. And loving someone always puts us at a very vulnerable place. It always prompts us to take a risk, right? You know, John asked in verse 17, if anyone sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Right? You know, the main problem with us is that we fixate on what's too hard to do rather than what Jesus has already done, you know. It's not even about what we could do or what we can do, but it's all about what Christ has done, right? You know, a Chinese character, righteousness, you know, I started doing Rosetta Stone, but anyway, the Chinese character for righteousness is comprised of two other smaller characters, okay? One on the top is a character for lamb, okay? And underneath that is the character for me, okay? So that's very interesting, isn't it? So in Chinese, righteousness literally means lamb over me. You know, I don't know how they get that, but righteousness means lamb over me. And what a fitting picture of who we are in Jesus Christ, you know? The lamb who was slain for us must produce a life of righteousness and love. And that has been the message from the beginning. It's not something that we just added on at the end. That's the message from the beginning. That's why he created us. That's why he sent his son. And that's why he's sustaining us, so that we may love him and love those around us. I mean, we are truly blessed so that we may be blessing to others. You know, that is the message. You know, let us pray, okay? Heavenly Father, you know, as we ponder the love that you have for us, you know, we come up so short of understanding it. But Lord, it is our prayer to you that your love for us will be the motivation for all that we do, you know. As we serve you, as we work with others, as we pray, let your love be the reason that we do all that we do, Father. And we just want to thank you for using us to love. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.